Greetings, brothers and sisters. This is Dr. Abdullah. I am the host and educator on a channel by the name of All Things Education Official. Just got started about 9 months ago, making some good waves. I'm giving educational news and commentary and views from a foundational Black American male's perspective. I have been in the educational game since 2001. Prior to that, I was actually a clinical therapist, so I have multiple credentials. I am a certified therapist. I am a social worker, initially by trade, and I just recently completed my doctoral degree in education and administration leadership. I have spent the majority of my career working in all male educational spaces, particularly Black male educational spaces. Prior to that, I worked in alternative education, so I had the students that the other teachers and staff couldn't deal with. So I did remediation, intervention, family counseling, individual counseling. I was a liaison between the students and the community. So I've been in this game for a minute. I love it. And I felt that because we have so many Black students, male and female, that are falling through the cracks and being lost to the system, I felt that I wanted to be a voice so that parents, as well as any other stakeholder who knows a child, who is interested in the child, or just interested in our community, can pass on information to their families and to the child themselves. Because sometimes, sad to say, a lot of our children are their own advocates, and we got to give them the tools to be the best advocate possible. That is who I am in a nutshell, Dr. Musa Abdullah.
Started, sustained, and succeeded, so you can too.
Hey, it's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, you heard it correct. I have Dr. Musa. I love that name, Mansa Musa. I love that name, Abdullah. So I always call him Dr. Musa when I'm talking, you know, to him or about him in a great way. I said, Dr. Musa. And so we have him, and he's going to give us the game, education, and hopefully spark some of, you know, your guys' ideas to maybe create your own school or a home school like we do over here, and let you know how we are going to change the game. Dr. Musa Abdullah, welcome to Diversify Game. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I appreciate you having me. Love chopping up with the brothers. I love it. I love it.
And I'm going to be respectful of his time. So if you, I don't ask all the questions, you guys, and I know majority of you are listeners, but go over to the YouTube, give it some love. It's because it is Ramadan. He has eaten, but after eating, you do want to rest too. He's had, you know, a long day. So we're going to get this game. Whatever I miss, you guys go to his YouTube. He's covered that and more. Right. But he is a new contributor too at the African Diaspora News Channel. I want to throw that out there. So check out his stuff there as well. And Dr., the first thing I want to ask you, because it's things that you tackle on your YouTube channel, we talk about we need to make a change. When do we start? How do we start? Because a lot of parents are saying after COVID, I did it during COVID, but I got to get these kids to the babysitter. I mean, to the school. you know, give us the game on how do we start making this transformation?
Well, first and foremost, you got to be very intentional in everything you do. I think that we're just so happy sometimes, and it's sad to say, we're so happy just to get the kids out of our hair for 6, 7, 8 hours a day, even though we're not at home, you know, so we just want to get them out the house. And in doing so, we have a couple of goals in mind. We want one, to get them out the house. Two, not to hear about what they're doing incorrectly while they're out the house. And three, hopefully when they go back, we can repeat the cycle all over again. So if that's how you're looking at your child's education, that's a fallacy, that's a flaw. The where we begin is we start interfacing with not only the teachers, not only the principals, but you start finding out if you're in a traditional public school, you start finding out who's the superintendent, who's the assistant superintendent, starting getting information on the curriculum. What is your child learning? I'm just willing to bet that so many parents would be appalled if they knew what was in the curriculum, what was not in the curriculum. It is 2024, and I literally had a conversation with a young man who said, I heard of Malcolm X. Blew my mind. He had briefly heard of Malcolm X, one of our greatest freedom fighters. Secondly, if I'm giving account, let me not give account because there's so many different points. I would also say look into alternative modes of education. What does that mean? Excursions, trips around your particular city. There are so many historical sites of Black significance in every city. You got to look for them, though. For example, I am in New York City. There is a very small reserve section of Brooklyn called Weeksville Heritage Center. It's a Black area of Brooklyn. A lot of people don't even know it exists, but it was been preserved. Some of the original houses from the 19th century are there. And we've been there, looked at the paintings, looked at the writings, just to reconnect with who we are. Also, get with people that you know are in education. Everybody knows a teacher or knows someone who knows a teacher. Ask questions. Finally, until we are able to fully create our own institutions on a mass scale, you need to be seeking out institutions that have a cultural lens and have a lens that is appropriate for your child. Now, we know that we're not a monolith in our community. So you have conservatives, you have liberals, you got Democrats, you got Republicans, you got Christians, you got Muslims, but you need to find the balance. And what does that mean? You need to find an institution that focuses on Black community and not the degenerate parts either. We're talking about the positive aspects of Black community, which of course are the majority. For instance, my son and my daughter, they both attended a Muslim school, but not just any Muslim school. They attended a Muslim school that was ran by Black Muslims who put the culture in the forefront. After that, they went to a public charter, which was focused on the culture, Black culture, particularly Black American culture, so that they can identify and see the possibility of who they could be in not only themselves, but their peers. So that's where we begin. I was actually given an example, I'm sorry, given an idea. She put a comment under one of my videos and she said, "You have some great ideas. I think you and some other Black educators should design a curriculum for Black Black homeschooling." And I said, "That's a great idea, but guess what? Those curriculums already exist. You just got to look for them. And some of them are actually free." So there, if you want, please follow Woke Homeschooling on Instagram and also follow Treehouse University. Those are two institutions that focus on culture and woke homeschooling. They have a curriculum and they talk about doing homeschooling until we get ourselves into a space to be like a Randall King for the boy X school for boys, or hopefully, and I'm gonna say this with no shade, hopefully the brother Dr. Umar Ifatunde gets his school up and running. I'm still hoping and praying. I got the fist up for the brother. You know, I'm not gonna shoot my brother down because I know he has some great ideas and I hope he brings that into fruition. So that's what I think we need to be doing, brother. I hope I wasn't too long-winded.
No, it's your platform to say what you need to say, and inshallah to that school for with Dr. Umar. He just, we hope that he learns also how to play well with others. And I know too much maybe, but
Right, right, right.
and it shocks people sometimes, and especially if you got the hairline like mine and you got some grays, right? Where these kids don't know who a Malcolm X is because we can remember wearing the Malcolm X hat to support the movie.
Yes,
You know, and
sir.
it wasn't
Yes,
that long ago. I know y'all
sir.
might not have been born out there, some of you, but it wasn't that long ago. We had all type of gear that, I mean, it was just rocking. And to have, the Malcolm X hat and the different colors, and it was just, I had all black for sure.
Oh,
But
yeah.
with, the homeschool, we saw during COVID, everybody basically had to go to homeschool. I like the book Extreme Ownership talks about putting the lens on us, what we can do. We proved that we could do it during COVID. What stops us from doing that now? Because even the single mother learned they had to homeschool because there was nowhere to
Sir.
go. Like,
Sir.
how we got to have that extreme ownership to say this is what we have to do if we like our children. Because what I found out, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, and I've only taught for a little bit in the elementary, middle school, high school as a sub. But even in grad school, I found out that some parents don't care about their kids' education. It is really a babysitter for them. So how, like, give us the game on that so we can get a mind frame reshift, because if we don't take care of our kids, who is?
Noel. Well, I'll tell you this. What I found is that it was very interesting. You got to understand, I was teaching during COVID, the whole online thing. It was a disaster. But what I'll tell you is that parents were begging us to open those schools. I mean, these are people who were never active in the community, never active in their children's lives. Oh no, they were down at the Board of Education's office. They were writing letters, sending emails. You need to open up those schools. And I'm like, well, whoa, whoa, whoa. We've been doing this for years and you had no problems. As a matter of fact, I'll never forget. I had a parent say to me, look here. And I'll never forget her way she said it. She said, look here. My job is from 3 until 7:55. Your job is from 8 to 3. I don't call you when I'm doing my job. Don't call me while you doing yours. And she was serious. Yeah, she was dead. She was not playing. So in her mind, when the child's with us, we're supposed to handle all issues. Well, the problem comes in and you don't really want us to handle it the way we need to handle it. You want us to handle it the way you want to handle it. And to say that parents don't like their children, it's funny, but I would say that they had never experienced their child in that type of environment, the academic environment. And it was extremely challenging for them. I would say that if you want to move forward, if you want to move forward as parents, you got to stay active. You got to reach out. And there was another question you asked on the back end of that.
Well, and just, you know, that mind shift change, and you really tapped into it, because when you say somebody, your job, you telling me what my job is, when you had these children, and Dr. Moose and I were not there having the fun when you were having yours. Right. We had our own, right? It's just a mind shift change that, like, there is no off time with parents. I've also worked with kids in group homes, rehabs, and even a step down program off the psych ward. I have seen staff members, you know, after the fact, not that I watched it happen, take 16-year-old boys home and let them drive ATVs, get caught. And who knows what happened to that boy who already was molested before he came to us. You know, so it's like a mind shift. You got to be watching your teachers. You got to be watching your kids when they go to work or volunteer programs. And that's what I just wanted you did a beautiful job, you know, just kind of explaining the mind shift, because there is no off time. Like being a police officer, you're never off.
You're always on duty. As a matter of fact, I am transitioning to a new position. I'm a director of social support services, and I'm a little fearful because I love interfacing with children. You know, when you start getting to directorships and administrative positions, you begin to move away from the children. And what I find is that if you really love kids, you want to be amongst them. You know, I love being around kids because I learned so much, even when I learned what they don't know. And like you were saying earlier about Malcolm X, that book, the autobiography, changed my life. You know, I remember reading that book. And I read the entire book in a week, you know, and in 1 week, and it just changed my life. And our children, they don't need to be told, yeah, well, back when I was growing up, y'all don't know. No, that's not how you present the information. You say, yeah, when I was growing up, I did this. And if they respect you, if they care about you, they'll want to know what you know just because you know it. I've learned that. And my biggest, the phrase that I was taught when I was my late 20s, connect before you correct. I'm always going to say that, connect before you correct, because as adults, we love to tell children what they're doing wrong, you know, but we never tell them what they're doing right. And how often will you call a parent or institute a consequence for a child, something they did incorrectly, but you never, when they do right, the best you'll say is, all right, I'm watching. That's what you got for me. You know, now if I was doing something wrong, not only would you be on my neck, you'd be trying to bounce me up out of here for a couple of days. But I do something right, I just get it, I'm watching you. So I give more energy to the positive and less energy to the negative. But when the negative needs to be, when I need to pay attention to it, oh, I'm on it, doggone it. So I think that connection is important. Connecting with parents is important, and making children understand that, and I say this all the time, I need you. I need you. I need you to take care of me in my old age. I need you. I look at my little sisters. I call my young girl, female students, my little sisters. I say, little sisters, my son's gonna need a wife. My son needs a wife. And I want him to have a beautiful, intelligent, I want him to have a understanding, supportive wife. That's what and what you're showing. I wouldn't introduce you to somebody I can't stand. I tell the brothers, these sisters need a productive, providing husband. They need somebody who's going to provide and protect and lead and teach. I wouldn't let you take care of my puppy, And so these lessons that I'm giving, they are something that I want them to take into the world. And the most important thing is I tell my older students, 8th grade, 9th grade, I say, you got to understand that everything that I'm teaching you, you may not pick it up today. I know you're not. It just ain't gonna stick today. But I'm gonna keep throwing it up against the wall, hope something sticks. But I'll tell you this, if it goes left and you make a horrible decision, you will never be able to say you were never told. So I will rest easy no matter what decision you make, because I know I've poured into you. And finally, we are a supporting cast as educators. We are supposed to be supporting what the parents are teaching at home. But unfortunately, what I find is that I become the parent. I'm no longer the supporting cast. I am a lead actor. And that is a major issue in our community.
Amen. And if you got to be the parent, as the scriptures say, you spare the rod, lose the child. So teachers might need to go back to, that real discipline in certain schools because we
Right.
know. But I want to say congratulations to your promotion because where I know you're not hands-on with the kids, and then it hurts to leave them to go make the big decisions. You also are going to make some bigger money. So I want to say congratulations to
Thank
that
you.
because it's well deserved. And that doctoral degree was not free.
Right,
And
definitely not.
at some levels, you got to be at the table. You just can't get it from the people who are in the administration and telling you what you should be doing. You got to go up and knock on their door, and hopefully you can kind of go back and do what you got to do. And I want to say that book that you took you a week to read, I read that. It was one of my 8 books that I read in a day, like Cat Williams, 3,000 books. I read it and it changed my life too. My mother made me read it because I was the only one in much of my education in my class that looked like me, to the point where I know Jason Hart, who he could be watching right now, right? He was the only one in the school for the majority of my coming up, maybe till like high school. So it's crazy. Once you leave Oakland and you go to the suburb, you're like, hold on.
Yeah,
So
I got you.
yeah, can you tell the people, because your whole life, and I really have to give the people just a taste, because I want other YouTubers to watch this. I know I'm sending this to O'Shea Duke Jackson as well.
Oh, that is my guy, O'Shea
Yeah.
Duke Jackson.
I want him to make sure, he sees this. And so when you go to Uganda and they say, hey, we need you to open up some schools for yourself, if that's what you feel you need to do. But tell the people a community give back because your whole career right now is like a give back. But let them know a give back that you're doing or one that you plan on doing in the future. And if we can help you with it at all, please let us know.
Well, what I do currently, and it wasn't initially my idea, but I was given the framework by this brother. I'm gonna say his name is Mr. Aramimi, a Nigerian brother. He actually came up with the idea of a mentorship program for my school called Kings, Knowledgeable, Innovative, Noble, and Genuine. And he said, hey, brother, and he got a promotion. He trained me for my position as the dean of students at the school. He said, listen, you don't have to do it, but I'm giving it to you. I really hope you do it. I've never done it. I just kind of came up with the idea for Kings. And I really want you to do it if you can, because our young men need the support. I said, brother, you don't even understand. As a member of my fraternity, I have always been the head of the mentorship programs. I've developed a program that I presented to the national body. I love mentorship because I know what I would have benefited from as a young man significantly. So I run the King's program in my school. I started off with like about 8 young men, and the school I'm in currently is only a 6th grade school. We have 280 sixth graders. That's it, no other grade. So the upside is that I get a close relationship with these young men in particular. The downside is that they move on to another school once they graduate. But I started off with about 8 to 10 young men. That thing has grown to right now, I have about 35 this year. And I've pushed my program into the schools that are co-located in our building. So there's the Kings of Causey, the Kings of Truth. And the beautiful thing about it is that these young men keep coming back to me because they really appreciate what they do. I've only required that their parents give me permission and chip in on a once a month luncheon that we do in the school. That's all I require because I'm interacting with their sons every day. You're talking 5 days a week, 6 hours a day. And that is significant because a lot of people don't recognize that I sometimes see children more than their parents. You got to really let that sink in. Mm-hmm. I spend more time with children than their parents sometimes. So right now, asking for assistance, I don't really need any help. I do everything through the parents and through the child. And I'm going to tell you why. I've learned in doing mentorship and being in programs with children, dealing with children and parents, is that if the parents don't pay a little something, they'll take it for granted. It's very interesting. So even if it means, hey, we got a luncheon, I want everybody to bring $5. I've had these sixth graders give up their little store money that they would drop, go get them some Takis and some soda and a sandwich. They'll bring their little $5 because they know I'm going to bring some good food. I'm not going to give them a bunch of junk food. Give them some nice food catered in, bring it on in. We'll talk, have a great time, laugh, watch a movie. And they feel invested. They want to invest. And the parents are like, oh, my son always talks about you. And how? And they say, it's interesting because you on him. You stay on him. Tell him you was yelling at him yesterday, but he still loves you. I say, yeah, because children are like, and I hate to say it like this, but they're like pit bulls. They know when you're afraid, but they also know when you love them too. So as far as help, only thing I want is it come to my channel. And if you see some videos that kind of resonate with you, please give me feedback so I can potentially implement some of your ideas with my young people. And as you may or may not know, my focus in particular is young Black men, but I still do all that I can for my young Black sisters as well.
Got you. And you know, that focus, in case anybody ever says, because you can hear the internet sometimes, oh, why can't you do more for the women? Well, because men are going to have to handle men, because men don't have enough men in their lives, and only a man can show a man how to be a man. You guys have heard these old sayings, mm-hmm. but the fact that you, and we got to keep it real, there is, I never, when I worked for group homes or even the psych ward, I could never be alone with a female resident. Not at all. I need somebody else. If we got to, you know, personal items and this and that, as a supervisor, one of y'all coming with me. I don't care what the show is.
CYA politics. That's right. CYA. That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. I tell people all the time that most Black men, hell, for that matter, most Black people, depending on where you grew up, did not have a Black male teacher till they got to college. And I was one of those people. I never had a Black male teacher till I got to the college. So much so that one of my undergrad majors was Africana Studies. At the time, it wasn't even a major. It was Black American Studies. And it was a coordinate major, meaning that you couldn't get it unless you had another primary major. And the only reason why I would say my wife, she got the same major as well, because that was the only department that had 4 Black professors and they were all male. So we were like, man, we rocking with y'all. So we got that degree because of them, because we love taking classes with them. And the numbers right now bear out terribly for us. Only 2% of the educating staff in the country are black men. 2%. Most of the time, when you talk about males in an educational environment, you're talking about the coach, the custodian, and the security, maybe a cafeteria worker. And if you find a math teacher, typically they're a continental African or sometimes a Caribbean, so from the Caribbean. So to find a foundational Black American male educator before the age of 19 is very rare. And incidentally, the title of my dissertation was Providing Equity, the Importance of Foundational Black American Male Teachers and Separate Educational Spaces for Foundational Black American Males, grades 6 through 12. And the research shows that if you have one black male, just one, between the grades of 3 and 5, just 3 and 5, just one, that increases graduation rates by 33% in black men and 18% in all other children. Bottom line, black male educators are the secret sauce. And we need to really start recruiting. We need to really start pushing that out, pushing out the truth, not a narrative, but the truth that black men are needed in the classroom, not just administration. They need it in the classroom. They need to see a black man in leadership, teaching, and also learning, being an advocate. So I'm sorry, I get on the diatribe sometimes, I go a little fit, but I just need you to know that it's so important for me what I'm doing and what other black men and women are doing in the classroom. And that's why I just preach so hard and heavy on it.
But what you're saying, and for those, again, majority of you are listeners at this point, I raised my hand because even after high school, going to college, going to college, this is how bad we need black teachers. I remember my friend who went from criminal to now he's a pilot at a very large airline. And I remember when he got our first, I say our first teacher, and I can still remember the book. Well, I'm in Kansas before I went to the Harvard of the South, Grambling State University, and met my wife, and many of my friends. But I can remember that he's like, Dr. Graves. And the book was like The Emperor's New Clothes, Biological Theories. And I was like, we're learning and we're ordering this book, maybe, from Amazon or whatever that was at the time. And it was like, that was my teacher by via proxy, because we never heard of a black teacher in Kansas at the small Christian school I was at. But when I went to Grambling, and you had said something earlier about online programs, let me give a shout out to a former guest and somebody who has a great program, Dr. Shahid Muhammad, AKA the math doctor. That system taught me someone who found out at 38, he was a dyslexic. That system taught me math. And I bought that before my kids were born because I said my kids will never struggle with math. So go check out Dr. Shahid Muhammad. I know for the ultra spiritual, you say Shahid Muhammad. Yeah, he's in the nation. But go check it out because he's preaching math and he's been doing it for over 2 decades. And he actually was a teacher in Grambling for a short time. But I didn't have him. Mr. Taylor, I love you and thank you for helping us graduate. As well as my wife, who really took a step down to come help me and tutor my class. Like, that's what y'all want to look like and look for in a woman, someone who is a genius and said, I'll take that little math with you. What's that? But that's what a black teacher can do. They can help you graduate, help you elevate. And if you don't get it, just believe us because we're telling you, especially if you aren't black right now, listening, saying, what? Yeah, you can go donate and support because that can be, get your guilty conscience and just
That's
help the
right.
community like we're helping migrants and everybody needs help in this world.
Right on that one, brother.
I want you to kind of close this out. I'm not going to ask you to freestyle like Sway, but you do
How
have
sway?
You do have one of my daughters. She's 13 years old, and MF Doom is one of her favorite rappers. And when
I got the MF Doom on right now, baby.
So this one, you know, when, if you do got a freestyle, this is for London and Sydney. London is the MF Doom fan. This is our book.
Okay. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, this is our London and Sydney Explore the World. This is our third book, Cameroon edition, for those who want to know. Beautiful book. You guys check it out on YouTube. It's a travel book, so even adults can, you know, check it out. But give us, like, not just where we can find you, but if you do got a freestyle, we'll take it. If you do got a freestyle, we'll take it. You know, make room. MF Doom part two. May he rest in peace and in power.
Woo. Yeah, well, I'll say, if you want to reach out to me, you can always reach out to me at Dr. Abdullah at All Things Education Official. You can also reach out to me via Instagram at allthingseducation_official, and I'm All Things Education at Facebook. You can find me again, once again, on YouTube, All Things Education Official, where I'm giving you educational news from a foundational Black American male's perspective. I look for input so that I can put out content that matters to the community, particularly our community. Now, the thing about it is that when you uplift the Black community, you lift the entire community, the world community, when you lift the Black community. So what you do for us, you do for yourselves if you're not one of us. So just remember that. Reach out to me via those mediums. I'm very interactive. I always respond, even if it's to the comment section. Sometimes they get a little dicey, but if I don't agree, I'll still engage you because I know you deserve. You took the time to watch the video. You took the time to interact with me. I think it's my duty to give you something back. And so reach out to me, direct message on Instagram, through my email, or through Facebook.
I love it. I love it. And for those who say, hey, I'm going to like this game, I'm going to subscribe, I want you to do that before it's Operation Doomsday. I want you to do that before the aliens come to us and say, take me to your leader. This is empty food. You see what I'm doing with MF Doom? Yeah, so you guys have gotten the game. More importantly than anything, I need y'all to share this game. It will change somebody's life. Y'all, be blessed.
Hello, everyone. Join us on an exciting journey with Explore the World Cameroon. London and Sydney go take you explore Cameroon, the heart of Africa. Experience the vibrant culture, nature, and traditions from Yaoundé Market to rainforest adventures. Every page na new discovery. Join the Cameroonian food, music, and wildlife with our explorers. This book na true celebration of Cameroon spirit. Get your copy now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and through your library and bookstores via Ingram Spark. Don't miss this adventure.
Are you tired of the violence? Tired of the injustice? Police brutality, rampant discrimination, lack of gun control in this failed bias socioeconomic experiment called America? Or maybe you need a break from the relentless grind and want to regain control of your destiny, your wealth, your health, and your purpose. DiversifiedGame.com has the right course for you. Prepare for my first trip to Africa. Looking to reconnect with your roots, start a new business, or just a fresh start. Africa, aka the motherland, is waiting. Don't let the Chinese and the Mzungus have the fun and also take over the motherland. From Cairo to Mombasa, from Dakar to Cape Town, Africa has something for everyone, from business opportunities to the most amazing people, safety, leisure, and landscapes. The opportunities abound. It is time for the diaspora to reconnect with their roots. Time to reconnect with the birthplace of humanity. Africa is the last frontier. Get your head in the game and reclaim your legacy. The writing is on the wall. Babylon is falling. Give up the stress, grind, and violence inflicted on our people on this continent and prepare for a journey of restoration and joy by connecting with the land of your ancestors. Check out our new course and kick off your adventure at diversifiedgame.com.